You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. Happy Thanksgiving. What do you know? It's Turkey Day. I am doing a show today, after all. But as it turns out, I forgot to mention to Kyle a minute ago, we were talking, I'm actually not going to be doing a show tomorrow. Tomorrow looked like, you know, the more likely show I'd be doing instead of today. But no, it's the other way around. I found out yesterday I got to take care of something tomorrow important, so I won't be able to do a show. But anyway, I will be back up on Monday. Probably a lot of you aren't even listening live now because of the holiday, but again, it'll be in the archives later. But just to give you a heads up, I won't be available tomorrow. I'm hoping I'll remember to mention that again at the end of the show. But anyway, no live broadcast for tomorrow, for Friday. All right. Let's... Maybe I should have picked something appropriate for Turkey Day. Didn't think to do that. I think I did talk once about Thanksgiving, its origins. It's not so pleasant origins. But anyway, let's get back to where we left off, talking about the all-seeing eye. Just opening up my notes here. We were talking about instances, you know, where this symbol has popped up with, you know, in movies and TV shows. Here's another example. A 2001 movie called From Hell. Oh, you just got to love some of these movie titles. Never mind the content. Just the titles alone, they're designed to shock you and, of course, to take you down yet another level. Every generation, guys, it gets worse and worse and worse. It's by design. They couldn't do it in one bold and broad step. No, that's too shocking. People would cringe. They would run away from it. But when they do it slowly, incrementally, just like what they're doing to us as a whole in society, you know, sucking us dry, raising the cost of living, dumbing down the wages. They didn't do that overnight either, did they? No, no, you have to introduce this stuff incrementally, slowly, gradually. People can accept it more easily. Boil that frog in the pot slowly. Slowly turning up the heat. And so it is with the demoralization of society as well. You think this is an accident that gradually, slowly over the decades, they've destroyed our economy? Slowly over the decades, they've debauched our moral standards. All of this stuff, guys, and so many other things that they've done to us, they've done it incrementally. Oh, but it's just a coincidence. Oh, there's no conspiracy. Why, such things don't exist. And if you think they do, maybe you should see a doctor and get your head fixed. Be put on some medication. That will fix you up nicely. Yes, yes. Anyway, the movie From Hell, 2001 movie, depicts one of my favorite actors. Oh, what a psycho. I can't stand this son of a bitch. Then again, there's probably not too many personages in Hollywood I can stand, but Johnny Depp plays in this movie. Plays the part of an opium-smoking inspector who's asked to investigate a series of gruesome murders that has Londoners in a state of panic. That guy just gives me the creeps. And for good reason, because not just the weird creep show parts he plays, but in real life, he's a piece of shit too. As are, again, most Hollywooders. Anyway, in the movie, as his investigation continues, he discovers that it's being impeded at every turn by powerful Freemasons in London. Interestingly, in one of his opium-induced visions, he discovers that the Jack the Ripper murders were tied to Freemasonry. Well, what do you know about that? Is this the tribe boasting? Of course, they're not going to tell you, you know, that the tribe is behind Freemasonry, but they don't care if you figure out that one of their little fronts that they operate under is behind something, as long as you don't make the connection. They don't care if you're aware of the evils of the British Empire, the evils of the American Empire, or the evils of the KKK, on and on and on. It doesn't matter, as long as you don't figure out that they're behind all these things. As long as you don't point a finger at them at all, they'll help you point a finger at one of their fronts. They don't really care, because you see these fronts as Goyim Enterprises. But nevertheless, very interesting. In the movie, points a finger at the Freemasons behind that they were the Judeo Freemasons. They were behind the Jack the Ripper murders. Absolutely, no question about it. What was written there on the mirror, talking about the widow's sons, or the widow's son. Nobody but a Freemason would use that kind of language. All the murders, if you look at them on a map, draw out a pentagram. You know, on and on it goes. Anyway, jeez, I'm yawning again. Sorry, folks. All throughout this movie, occultic Masonic symbols of all kinds are shown on the screen. The compass and square, triangles, the pentagram, and of course, the all-seeing eye. No surprise, the television show The Simpsons, is and always has been loaded with the all-seeing eye symbol and all kinds of other occult connotations. For example, in the episode Homer the Great from season 6, 1994, Homer becomes intrigued and obsessed with a secret society called the Stonecutters. This show, perhaps more than any other, is so blatantly in your face, permeated with Masonic, Kabbalistic, occult overtones. The Stone Cutters, ladies and gentlemen. Frickin' Masonry. Anyway, the lodge that he attends has a huge red eye above its main entrance as he walks in. As an interesting side note, in this show, the Stonecutters sing a song with these revealing lyrics while a pyramid with an eye on it rests on the table that they're seated at. Here's the lyrics to the song. Very interesting, guys. Look how they shove this right in your face. It goes like this. Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do, we do. Who keeps Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps Martians under wraps. We do. We do. Now, you know, not that there's any truth to, you know, goddamn Martians being kept under wraps or Atlantis off the maps. But these lyrics are just designed to instill in you the idea that we, these secret societies, control everything. By the way, I don't deny, you know, quote, Atlantis. Although I don't think that necessarily there may have been, I don't know. But I think Atlantis is just a fantasized story of the the antediluvian world, the pre-flood world, or pre-catastrophe world in general. Not necessarily. I mean, there could have been. But if you ask me, the whole antediluvian world was an Atlantean paradise, not necessarily just one city. In fact, it might refer to an actual city, not necessarily called Atlantis, but, you know, one specific city that, you know, the story of which made it beyond the flood and got, you know, dressed up so much, having been handed down orally, that, you know, and Plato himself probably added a lot of sugar and spice himself, you know. The same thing with the Old Testament narratives. They're based somewhat on actual events, but so completely, overwhelmingly loaded with mythological bullshit that the stories are almost useless. But I won't argue totally useless, because, they are quite revealing. You know, many of you will recall when I did my series on ancient Egypt years back. Oh, yes. You can't throw them out entirely. There are some very interesting tidbits. Not very flattering tidbits for the tribe, but very interesting nonetheless. Anyway, let's finish this song up here. They go on to sing, "Who holds back the electric car? Who makes Steve Gutenberg a star? We do, we do. Who robs cave fish of their sight? Who rigs every Oscar night? We do, we do." Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. But again, guys, you get the all-seeing eye featured all throughout that episode, all over the damn place, in association with the Stonecutters. Tom and Jerry, another cartoon. This one not geared toward adults either, obviously. Tom and Jerry features an all-seeing eye. In fact, in their movie, The Fast and the Fury, both Tom and Jerry enter a race in order to win a mansion, according to the storyline. The villain in the film is a Hollywood producer named Globo Wobbler, or excuse me, Glob Wobbler. That's an interesting name. I'm sure that has some dark secret overtones to it. Probably has something to do with pedophilia. Glob Wobbler, a Hollywood producer. Yeah. Anyway, he continues to extend the finish line in the race because it's bringing in huge TV ratings. So, you know, dragging the thing on. On his head, he wears, guess what? A pyramid with an all-seeing eye on the top. In one scene, he sits at a desk with some sort of communication device shaped like a pyramid. And, again, it also has an eye near its apex. Unbelievable. Later, Gobwobbler is summoned by the president of Hollywood, and as he meets with him, he and his sidekick put on their pyramid hats and get on their knees. The Hollywood president who was later depicted holding a staff with a pyramid and an eye on top of it, reminds Gobwobbler that Hollywood must appeal to the lowest of man's base instincts. He actually says that on this child-oriented fucking cartoon, guys. Can you believe this? Sick, sick son of a bitches. What's amazing is they could put something like this in an adult-oriented show, and adults probably wouldn't even get it. But what the hell is this doing in a kid's show? But this president of Hollywood actually says that Hollywood must appeal to the lowest of man's base instincts. Holy shit. And isn't that exactly what they do? They're doing it right here in this kid-oriented cartoon, aren't they? All the while, in this narrative, Gobwobbler and his sidekick are bowing their faces to the ground before His Eminence, the bigwig of Hollywood. At the end of the film, Gobwobbler has a change of heart and is determined to put fun and wholesome family entertainment back into Hollywood productions. He says, quote, Hollywood is going to stand for morality, wholesomeness, good, clean family entertainment. It's obviously designed to make a mockery, though, of this whole idea. But suddenly, the president appears and says to his cohort, what's gotten into him? We can't have that kind of attitude in Hollywood. Isn't this interesting? He then points his staff at Gobwobbler and vaporizes him. Ah, yes. Look who prevails in the end. Look at this goddamn shit, guys. Look at this. What you have there, actually, is a representation of what really does go on in real life. As, what was his name there? Oh, shit. Yep, his name freaking escapes me now. Anyway, Hollywood actor slash producer there that fled to Canada. Quaid. I forget if it's Dennis or his brother now. But anyway, one of the Quaid brothers back in 2010 talked about the Hollywood star whackers. He said it happens all the time, that he knows personally of 6 people that were whacked. 2 of them, I remember, he mentions by name, were Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston. Hollywooders slash, you know, entertainers, whatever. Singers, actors. And so that's what you have represented here. The message here is that anyone in Hollywood who tries to upset the apple cart, wants to bring in morality, they wind up dead. The last person I know of in Hollywood who, you know, endeavored to do, and in fact did do that, and the only reason they allowed it is because, you know, things weren't quite so bad just a few decades ago. But now they've finally sunk us to the lowest level, and now there's no more allowance for that kind of thing. But the last Hollywood producer that produced, you know, decent, wholesome, family-oriented television was, and he was a tribe member himself, but Michael Landon. Those days are gone, guys. The era of the, you know, the Little House on the Prairie, the Waltons. He even had that show, you know, Highway to Heaven. It's mostly, you know, goddamn Christian bullshit. But nevertheless, it was decent, you know, family entertainment. You could sit your kids in front of the TV and not have to worry about their minds getting inundated in horse shit and filth and crap and there were morals to those stories. Not anymore. No. Those days are gone. Gone for good. But again, notice the storyline. They were vaporized. Or, well, this guy was vaporized, you know. Eliminated. liquidated. And again, the all-seeing eye theme all throughout that cartoon. Here's another example. A 1999 movie called Any Given Sunday. It was about a football team called the Miami Sharks, which is slowly falling apart in the film. Injuries, along with discipline and management problems, were shaking the core of the franchise in the film. But anyway, finally, the team starts to get their act together. The last opponent that the team faces is the Dallas Knights, who have a pyramid with an eye in its center on their helmets. There's also red rays radiating out from this symbol. Jesus Christ, guys. Look how often this symbol pops up. The eye, and usually in association with a triangle or a pyramid, and again, the radiating beams of light coming out from every direction. Unbelievable. In one scene, one of the Dallas players loses an eye, and right at that moment, the pyramid with the eye symbol flashes on and off on the screen several times. How freaking bizarre is that? How bizarre is that? The idea is now he has one eye left, and so they flash the all-seeing eye, just like they do, you know, on the covers of magazines. They'll have some celebrity covering one eye and gawking at you menacingly with the other, representing the all-seeing eye. Or they'll, you know, look through one eye, making a triangle shape with their fingers. Jesus Christ. Christ, man, come on. Right in your face. A 1977 film called Suspiria was about a ballet school that is far more than it seems. The story surrounds an American girl named Susie, who joins a famous European ballet school. Through a series of bizarre events, which begin at the moment that she arrives at the school, Susie begins to delve deep into the school's past, as well as investigating some of its present members. She comes to learn that this school was originally founded by a witch's coven. Very interesting. She later discovers a hidden chamber within the school where she finds the teachers performing a ritual. Ah, ha, ha. Similar to the plot of many vampire movies, the main character kills the head witch, instantly subjecting the lower level witches to the same fate. The all-seeing eye within a pyramid is emblazoned on the wall of this hidden chamber, with rays radiating out from the center. Also shown is a large peacock symbol, another classic occult motif. Unbelievable. But guys, the symbol is, I mean, the storyline here, don't miss it. In this school, there's a hidden chamber where secret rites are performed. How often do we see this? Remember the McMaster's story, for example, out in California, you know, this child care facility where kids were reporting, you know, scores of kids, hundreds of kids, I forget how many now, quite a few, were reporting, you know, underground tunnels where they were being taken and made to perform in these bizarre rituals that involved drinking urine, eating feces, blood, you name it. Jesus, God. And, of course, being sexually molested all the while. The whole thing was absolutely, you know, vehemently attacked by the media. The kids were called crazy. and the parents for backing up their kids were called nuts. They were being demonized. They quickly vacated the place and had it buried in, folks. They buried the tore the school down, or the facility, filled the foundation in, and it sat like that for years until one day somebody actually excavated the thing and discovered that, holy shit, there really were underground tunnels, just as the kids described. Oh, they covered the whole goddamn thing up. Local officials, the media, were all participating in the cover-up because they were obviously goddamn involved in it. Just talking with Kyle this morning. I guess he did a show last night talking about how, pedophilia rings have been the norm for decades on end. Even goddamn CNN talked about a huge problem of pedophile-related material being downloaded on computers at the Pentagon, guys. That was a big story several years back. I remember. But, as always, it gets reported, and then the next thing you know, wee, it's whisked off of the radar screen, and everybody forgets it, the few that actually paid attention in the first place. And so when the next pedophile ring gets exposed, like what's now going on with the Clintons, or what went on with the University of Pennsylvania, or the Franklin cover-up, or any number of these other things, people forget about it. They look at each individual instance as separate, disconnected, having nothing to do with each other, if they look at them at all. Tunnel vision. They can't step back and look at the big picture and connect the dots and say, hey, wait just a goddamn minute here. I remember this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that, and the other instance like this over the years, and I heard that these things are going on in other countries around the world. Wait a minute. No, they don't do that. They don't do it. They never do it. And when you try to do that, you try to show them stuff that's been reported right in the goddamn mainstream media. Can you imagine what isn't being reported? Holy shit. If this stuff is getting reported, oh, what aren't they telling us about? But anyway, nevertheless, guys, how much does it take for people to realize this is the norm? No wonder Trumpy boy is investigating the place that is not going well. Obama,
partial Jews are the ones who end up subverting societies because they're able to kind of go undetected.
Keep volunteering, America. Keep going along with this system.
They're all coordinating their bombings. They're all working together to destroy Syria.
First of all, these people are complete slaves. They have no control over their lives.
Suddenly the conversation got changed. Had to do something. It's cheap to talk.
People that are actively debunking these NGOs and these staged films.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Oh.
Hey guys, welcome back. Anyway, here's another example. A 1970 movie called El Topo. It was a dumb story about a traveling gunman and his pointless adventures in El Salvador. El Topo means the mole, interestingly enough. Anyway, at the end, he becomes the champion of a group of freaks and goes on to battle an evil cult that rules a nearby town. Their symbol, naturally, is a triangle or pyramid with, can you guess, an eye near its peak. So look how this goddamn thing not only pops up all over the place, but it spans the decades too, doesn't it? It's omnipresent in space and time, everywhere. You know, there has to come a time when you realize, wait, there's something very significant here. You know, why is this popping up all over the place? Well, again, why? Look who runs the whole goddamn operation. They're leaving their piss stains everywhere they go. How about Batman Returns, 1992? In this movie, Batman battles it out with the Penguin, played by, Danny DeVito. The Penguin, along with a partner, Max Schreck, begins building a criminal empire. But in the end, the Penguin betrays Schreck, and Batman defeats him along with his army of minions. Anyway, in one scene where Batman is attending a masquerade ball, Schreck, and by the way, that's interesting, Schreck, the name Schreck pops up here again. Schreck is shown wearing a turban that displays the pyramid and eye symbol once again. Across the board, guys, not only in space and time, but spanning all age groups. You see this in kid-oriented programs, adult-oriented programs. Although, when it's kid-oriented programs, it's not so kid-oriented, is it? As I pointed out before, guys, over the years, so-called kid-oriented shows aren't quite so kid-oriented. They put a lot of adult themes in kid shows, guys. They do it a lot. And not just in more recent times. I've mentioned this before, you know, the Flintstones. I was shocked as I watched the Flintstones again, you know, with my kids. Now, as an adult, noticing things I never saw, of course, when I was a kid. It was way over my head. There's actually a scene. I forget now what the episode is, but there's a scene where Fred and Barney are talking, and Fred makes a comment that Barney is so stupid that he needs another head, meaning another brain. But he doesn't say brain, he says head. And so Barney, in response, says, "What for, Fred? I always got two. I already have two of them." You know, and then Fred laughs, too. "I already have two heads, Fred. What do I need a third one for?" Of course, as a kid, I never got it. I never, Can you imagine, guys? This is back in the 60s and they were doing this shit. Wow. That's not the only time they did this. There was an episode where Pebbles is being born. Wilmer announces she's ready to go to the hospital, like, you know, water broke or whatever. So Fred is frantic now, trying to get his act together. He goes and starts the car, but he's screwing everything up. He grabs Dino at one point, thinking it's Wilma. So Barney comes by and he says, Fred, you're a wreck. I tell you what, he says, I'll drive Wilma to the hospital. You probably, can't even drive safe right now. You're so nervous. I'll drive her, and you can meet us over there later. Fred's like, oh, yeah, okay, Barney, good idea. I'm so nervous. So Barney takes off. Fred takes a few deep breaths, and then he gets in the car and figures, okay, I'll follow behind them, I'm a little more calm now. Anyway, Fred falls behind a little bit in traffic, you know, but finally he gets to the hospital and he looks over and he sees Barney and Wilma going into the hospital ahead of him. So he runs up to catch up to him. And as he goes to run through the front door, it turns out it's a revolving door, right? Somebody comes flying out the moment that he goes through the turnstile door. And it winds up spinning him around really fast and flings him across the street into a hotel lobby. But Fred's all disoriented and doesn't realize that. He thinks he's in the hospital. So he goes up to the front desk, and the hotel clerk asks, can I help you, sir? And he says, yeah, I'm looking for my buddy. He just came in here with my wife. And the hotel clerk says, hey, pal, we don't want any trouble here. Now, of course, as an adult, we can appreciate that. You know, it's kind of funny. But for a kid, this is a kid's show. What the hell is that doing in there? And, of course, the answer always is, well, that was just put there for parents who watch the show with their kids, so they'll get a little humor out of it. But really, think about that for a minute. The creators of that cartoon knew goddamn well that kids wouldn't be able to pick up on it. But they also knew that parents watching it with their kids are going to laugh in front of their kids, and their kids are going to say, oh, what's so funny? It's going to catch their attention. And whether or not mom and dad explain what it means, hopefully not, but they're going to start asking around. They're going to talk to their friends, and, you know, it's introducing them to shit, directly or indirectly, that they should not be exposed to. That's the whole purpose of it. They did it more subtly back then, but still they did it, right? Now it's more brazen. They got much more brazen shit in child-oriented movies and cartoons. Oh, have you ever watched some recent Disney stuff? It's unbelievable, guys. It's freaking unbelievable. I'm talking about the stuff that's openly displayed, not so much the subtle, but this subtle stuff too. Oh, there's whole videos on YouTube you can go and watch. There's clips of Disney films that, for example, the Lion King film, where there's one scene where Simba, is that his name, the main character there, Simba flumps down to take a nap, and as he does so, dust stirs up, and as it rises up against the backdrop of the sky, the dust cloud spells out the word sex, just for a split second, but it's very clearly visible. You can see it, no doubt. But it goes by so fast, of course, the conscious mind doesn't pick it up, but the subconscious mind does, and that's what it's intended for. That's just one example. Many, many, many others that can be cited. But, you know, that's a subtle thing that the conscious mind won't pick up, but there's blatant stuff in movies too. More and more, they're slipping in blatant stuff. Very, very, perverted, sexually oriented stuff. It's just mind-blowing, guys. Mind-blowing. And so, here's an example of what I was talking about. Back in the 60s, you had stuff like that in Flintstones cartoons, but it was rather subtle. As time has gone on, they've gotten more and more blatant. They're showing stuff in kid-oriented shows today. They didn't even show in adult-oriented shows a few years ago. Can you imagine another 10 or 20 years, the shit they're going to be... Oh, my God, man. They're taking us down, guys. Down the rabbit hole. Anyway, and that's the meaning behind, where does that expression come from? Down the rabbit hole. It comes from goddamn Alice in Wonderland, which represents exactly, the whole theme of that movie represents what they're doing to us as a society as a whole. By the way, that movie has been used, along with, The Wizard of Oz and several others, in MKUltra mind control programming sessions, interestingly enough. The book was written, of course, the original book, by a goddamn pedophile back in the late 19th century. I've talked about that before. Anyway, Desperately Seeking Susan is another movie that has the all-seeing eye, 1985 movie. In this film, a pent-up housewife named Roberta becomes obsessed with an adventurous floozy named Susan, played by Madonna. After a bit of stalking and a bump on the head that gives her amnesia, she unwittingly assumes the identity of Susan. Roberta is immediately recognized as the real Susan, but only because, in the course of taking Susan's identity, Roberta also began wearing Susan's magical jacket, which has on the back, you guessed it, a pyramid with an all-seeing freaking eye. Amazing. This stuff pops up all the time, but it's only when you step back and look at the big panoramic view. It's not in every movie, it's not in every cartoon, but often enough that, you know, for those paying attention, it's obvious. It's just like the truth in the news. You can actually get the truth in the news, the mainstream news. Some of you are probably saying, what the hell are you talking about? All they do is lie to us. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, they do lie. No question about it. But they actually do tell the truth, ladies and gentlemen. But they spread it out far and wide. Just like they do here with, you know, displaying their occult symbology. They spread it out far and wide over space and time so that most people never catch it. But if you're paying attention, around the country and across the barriers of time, looking back over the past several decades, you'll realize that, wow, this occult shit pops up all over the place in time and space. The same with the truth. You can get the truth from mainstream media. In my book on 9/11, almost every single resource I cite is mainstream stuff. You know, I don't cite conspiracynuts.com. You know, I don't cite conspiracy theorists to prove my point. I mean, that's actually pretty stupid, isn't it? Who the hell is going to believe you if you're citing people that are known to be conspiracy theorists? No, I quote mainstream sources because you don't need to quote from any other sources. It's all there. It always has been. But they spread it out far and wide, knowing that most people are never going to put it together. They actually get their rocks off on putting the truth out there while yet lying to you. They fill, you know, your head with 99% bullshit, but in that 99% bullshit, they do drop sometimes a very major important element of truth. And then, you know, a month later, in another local broadcast, they'll drop another piece. Then 6 months later, in some other local broadcast in another part of the country, they'll drop another piece. If you know where to look, you can find these puzzle pieces and put the whole goddamn thing together. But they scatter them far and wide, again, across space and time, knowing most people will never do that. They don't even know that there's puzzle pieces out there that need to be put together. They think the way the media puts the pieces together for them, the crappy pieces of another different puzzle, you know, they think that that's the right picture. No, it isn't. Most of the pieces they throw at you go to another puzzle. They're creating another illusion for you, that you know, other than the actual real puzzle, that they only give you, you know, small pieces of here and there in piecemeal fashion. I use that illustration in my New World Disorder book because that's exactly how this whole thing plays out. I use the jigsaw puzzle analogy where they just throw a few pieces here and there, but mix them in with other puzzle pieces from a different puzzle. And most people don't look at those one or two pieces that go to the real puzzle. They look at the crappy pieces because that's mostly what's thrown at them. And those crappy pieces are pretty much already put together for them. And so they just accept that puzzle. But let me state once again, in the midst of all the bullshit the media feeds us, they actually do tell the truth. They get off on it. In fact, that they can put some pieces here and there out there, and yet they love it that people don't get it. Anyway, But that's what they do with the, you know, there were little occult themes like the all-seeing eye. It's all over the place. But they spread it out just enough so people don't see the pattern. Just like, you know, with 9/11. All the problems with 9/11 were, in fact, reported in the mainstream media, but spread out far and wide. Anyway, looks like we had a caller here. Yep, there we go. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello, Charles.
What's happening?
Happy Thanksgiving. Well, I want to thank... Yeah, I wanted to thank you for putting out a show on Thanksgiving. That was a nice gift for your listeners.
Yeah, it turns out I won't be doing a show tomorrow, but anyway.
I heard that. Well, who can complain? My gosh, the amount of shows you have done and continue to do are simply staggering. I heard you speaking about this book in progress that you're writing, and I was very excited to hear that.
Worked on it some more again last night. Yeah, I'm getting the fever now. I'm going to hopefully be on a
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to call occasionally from time to time to try to stoke the fires of that fever.
Yeah, keep going. Because, they crack the whip. Once I really get my teeth sunk into it, it's full speed ahead. You know, I got the momentum going now, so hopefully.
However you do it, we'll be glad to get it when it's out. Now, I was going to ask you if you're going to include at least some sort of short chapter which would explicate for our lessers, and yes, I do call them our lessers, the ones who become viciously angry when you try to tell them the truth. I was wondering if you were going to include a short chapter perhaps on how Christianity was spread mainly through violence and, you know, ruthlessly putting down the earlier pagan religions.
Yeah, you know what? Truthfully, there's so many things I want to cover like that. I was considering giving my own personal experience, but I try not to personalize when I write stuff. I try to keep it neutral and, you know, appealing to a general.
I don't know about that, Charles. Just as a listener, I'm always fascinated when you go into your personal experiences. If you think about that book, you had suggested.
In a book, though. I mean, on air, it's one thing, but in a book, I try to keep it, you know, just general. I don't know. You know what? Truthfully, I don't even know where I'm going to go. It's kind of like when I work on a show, I have one idea in mind, and I wind up going in a totally different direction, and new things come my way that I didn't expect. So who knows how this is going to wind up, but I do want it to be, quote, all-inclusive, or as much as all-inclusive as I can possibly get it. I do want to cover all the bases, so yeah, I'll have to...
Without it becoming too lengthy, because that turns people off. I've seen so many people who will just pick up a book and say, oh my gosh, I'm not reading this, just based on the half
to get away. Write it in such a way that people can actually pick what section they want to read, you know, because I'm going to cover so many different topics that they flip through the table of contents, you know, that they can just narrow in. It'll be able to be read that way. You don't have to read it cover to cover. I hope they do, but...
Consider, you know, that book you had recommended, Injustice for Some. She certainly does include her own personal experiences in that book.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's not intended necessarily as a documentary. She is writing as a lawyer from her personal experiences as a lawyer.
Right. Well, however you do it, of course, those are your own decisions, but I'm looking forward to it. And are you going to just, you know, I'm not going to criticize you if you don't, but are you going to explicate the tribe specifically in this crime?
I'm going to do it in a cushioned fashion because it's appealing to a general audience. But yeah, you can't help but address that. I'm not going to, you know...
Because, of course, your big decision there is that, because if you don't name them, it's possible to get it published by a major publisher. Well, I don't know. They might look into you personally in your show.
Well, but, I'm going to do it through Lulu again. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to self-publish, why not just name the bastards? I mean...
Anyway. Like I said, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm not going to say that these evil son of bitches are... I'm going to mention the idea of Jewish supremacism reeking on every page. Doesn't this sound like a group of people?
That's what I meant.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Well, then, yeah, you're gonna have to self-publish, but you know, you do have the radio show to help publicize it and all that. So, anyway, yeah, this Pizzagate thing has really been rankling me, and I can't imagine anything more depressing and angering. You know, I started to listen to Kyle's show about it last night, and couldn't do more than 10 minutes because I don't need any more convincing, you know.
Yeah, it's bad.
One of the hosts there.
So many out there that do need convincing. There's so many people in the truth movement, quote unquote, that are falling for the Trump BS. It's pathetic.
Well, you know, it's a tough call on that because I know that Trump is a complete and utter scumbag. And I know that they must, well, I'll say probably, you know, have him implicated in crimes himself, otherwise he wouldn't. Yeah, I understand all that. I wouldn't debate that for a second. But on the other hand, certain things he's promised to do may inadvertently help facilitate a solution. I'm speaking specifically of the 50-state legal conceal and carry law. Now, one of the hosts there, Chris Dorsey, has posted YouTube videos of, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, at some point, but from what I recall, he and his militia have actually legally surrounded a courthouse. They stayed within the legal bounds, I suppose, and just made their presence felt. And this is on YouTube, apparently. And he has something else planned, like a lawful assembly. I believe it's a courthouse, but you'd have to listen to his show. With armed members.
A raid, but it's a very well-staged Hollywood production.
Well, no, not if it's... I think, you know, one of the Renegade hosts is the guy who did it, is the guy who ran this whole operation, and he's...
No, but I'm saying... as always, there's sincere people that could take part in this stuff, but his participation in it is a Hollywood production. There's no genuine, you know... It's all arranged.
Well, I don't know, but as this Pizzagate stuff gets out there, and it has apparently, even though they're doing a good job squashing it, a lot of people have found out about it, and as the economy continues to crash, I mean, we have to hold out some hope that at some point we're going to literally take action.
Oh, yeah, we, not they. And that's the only way it's going to change. But Trump is a little Muppet. He is. There's no way they're going to allow someone, especially at this juncture, to get into power that has even the slightest inkling of concern for the general population to want to change. He's not even in the office yet, and he's already reneging on one of his biggest promises. One of his main campaign themes. It wasn't a promise, but he made it his campaign theme that he wanted to bring Hillary to justice, and he was pissed off at the FBI that they're not following up on these emails. And now, what does he say?
Oh, I'm not going to pursue that. They're good people, the Clintons. They've been through enough.
Oh, yeah. I can't argue that point.
Obama did the same thing. He was asked about 9/11. Are you going to pursue, you know, there's a lot of problems with the 9/11 story. Mm-hmm. He said the same thing. Oh, no, we're going to look forward in this administration. We're not going to look back.
Well, look, just like you had a lot of silent voters turning out to vote for him, who wouldn't even talk to the exit poll workers afterwards, if he goes back on the conceal and carry reciprocity and the wall and, you know, the main things people voted for him for, it's going to be tough going for him. And if
that's the thing. He might follow through with some of that. In fact, he was on Alex Jones's show. Somebody sent me a link. I was listening. And he's like, Alex, give me some time. You know, I can't do it overnight. But give me about a year, and you're going to be very pleased. You're going to be happy, because I'm going to follow through with my promise.
You're going to be very happy. Yeah, I've heard him say that a number of times.
Oh, and I'm sure Alex will say that he's, quote, very happy, so his whole crowd will be cheering on.
Then I can envision a movement where people have bumper stickers that say something like, when do we get happy? You know, there'll be some, if he reneges on these major promises and people don't respond, then unfortunately, you're correct that there's probably no hope.
My point is, he probably will, with some of them, or at least to some degree, he will. They'll allow that. They'll make some concessions so people will be convinced he really is our hero. In the meantime, in the back room, he's stabbing you in another way from another angle.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always that, yeah. But the reciprocity for conceal and carry is important if people are going to have constitutionally mandated resistance. And I mean lawfully, just... You know, you can't assemble en masse against the system without being armed. It's just not intelligent. So having that 50-state reciprocity would be a good thing, I think, in our favor.
They might put that on the back burner. They want your guns, but they know it's easier to pull that off under a liberal president than a conservative. Although, look how much liberal crap they got away with under Mr. Conservative Bush. So you never know. Who knows? You know, a situation might arise, or, I mean, they'll create a situation, where Trump says, I don't have a choice. I'm sure you can understand under these circumstances. You know, it's always that.
But you know what? They got the House, the Senate. I mean, it's going to be a tough sell to wiggle out of those things, and I think that'll prompt some sort of reaction.
Like I said, it depends what they stage.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that major element. Yep, all they got to do is stage something and say, "Oh wow, we were going to do this," but
exactly.
Well, you know. Anyway, looking forward to that book. I can certainly see myself. I can guarantee buying at least a couple, two, three as hate presents for various dupes that have poisoned my existence over the years. So, all right, Charles, thanks a lot.
Yeah, quickly. All right, buddy, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, folks, stick with the show. Break right back.
Donald Trump endorses China. Come to China.
China.
They say I don't like China. I love China.
People think I don't like China. I love China. China.
China is the new China, by the way.
China. I deal with China.
China.
Big league China.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China.
Whether it's China.
So if you went to China and you wanted to get a job in China.
I don't knock China. How could I dislike China?
The man from China.
China.
You have China, Carl. Take China.
China.
Donald Trump's there. China number one.
Thank you.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Looking at my email during the break, and this longtime listener, been listening for several years now, helped me out here with some memory lapses I was having. It's Randy Quaid. I always get them two mixed up. Not Dennis, his brother Randy, that made that comment about Hollywood star whackers. Yeah, back in 2010. And also, yeah, the name Shrek, I knew there was something special about it. I couldn't remember. It's actually a Yiddish word, which means frightful or ugly. So there you go. They like to have that name pop up regularly. They're into anything that's frightful and ugly. Maybe they should name these clowns Shreks. Anyway, still going on, too, by the way. I just heard of another one the other day, not far from me. Unbelievable. So we can add Massachusetts now to the list. He got arrested. The cops caught up with him. He was, targeting several kids in this one town, and they find some neighbors, whatever, finally... saw him in the woods. They called the police. They did manage to catch him. Unbelievable. The copycat syndrome, guys. A lot of them, I'm sure, are planted. When someone gets caught, you know it's not one of the insiders. This is just the copycat syndrome. But it doesn't matter. That's what they want. They want it to be a copycat syndrome thing, so they don't have to stage all of them. They want it to catch on and just create panic, pandemonium everywhere. Anyway, back to our notes here. Another film, 2009 film called Watchmen, has the all-seeing eye. This movie is about a disbanded group of superheroes who are brought back together when they discover that they're being targeted by someone who knows their true identity. Near the end of the movie, a terrible revelation is made as the remaining Watchmen find out that one of their own had betrayed them and was behind a series of murders that they were trying to solve. It was also discovered that this same traitor was planning to commit a major terrorist attack, resulting in the death of millions. This villain, of course, as you might guess, wears an all-seeing eye on his belt. Now, isn't it interesting that all of these movies here depict the bad guy, the enemy, as having an all-seeing eye and a triangle or radiating lines, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And yet, they're the ones who are so obsessed with this symbol. So what does that tell you? In so many words, they're telling you that they're the enemy. Yeah, and they're proud of it. They're proud of being the enemy. And they're putting it right out there in your face, flaunting it. Yeah, we're your enemy. What are you going to do about it? They're also flaunting that they're evil. They get off on it, guys. They're proud of their evil. Like I said, most tribe members, guys, they boast about what, you know, the elite members of their tribe are doing. It's not just the elites that are scum among them. A great many low-level tribe members are scum, too. They're proud of it, even though they might yet be getting screwed themselves by the policies of their tribal leaders. They're still proud of the fact that it's a fellow tribesman or a group of fellow tribesmen that are pulling this off and getting away with it. They think it's great. And they have the idea, the attitude that, you know, if I was in that position, I'd be doing it too. I don't blame them. Holy shit. Anyway, another film, 2006 film, A Scanner Darkly, it was called. This movie is about a dystopic future. Haha, dystopic future? How about dystopic present? But not dystopic enough for their liking. Anyway, it's about a dystopic future where America has become a police state.
Oh, gee, that just can't happen here.
And many people are addicted to a street drug called Substance D. Although it's clear that this drug is made in foreign countries and shipped to America, it's discovered that the derivative plant is being grown by the very organization claiming to fight Substance D addiction. Does that ever sound familiar? Sounds like goddamn CIA, or for that matter, the DEA. Very often they work in tandem with the CIA, bringing drugs into this country. Anyway, at the beginning of the film, the all-seeing eye within a pyramid is seen on the T-shirt of a character played by Robert Downey Jr. This character betrays his friends and, of course, is a heavy user himself of Substance D. But anyway, there you go. All-seeing eye. Another one, 1995 film called Hackers. This movie's about a group of hackers who are framed for a cyber crime. The villain, who insists on being called the Plague, created a computer virus to bring about chaos, after which time he planned to embezzle millions of dollars. In this movie, the all-seeing eye and pyramid are displayed for just a moment when the hero of the movie is sent a recorded video message from the villain. And of course, the villain has that as his symbol, as always, guys. The villain says, "Well, let me explain the New World Order. Governments and corporations need people like you and me. We are samurai, the keyboard cowboys, and all those other people out there who have no idea what's going on are the cattle." Holy shit. Look at this, guys. They flaunt it in movie after endless movie, TV show after endless TV show. Right out in your face. All those other people out there, the general masses, who have no idea what's going on are the cattle. But the world needs people like you and me, us who are rigging the game, and those few like you who are trying to expose it, but of course you're getting very little attention and you're affecting a very small percentage of the population, because the rest are just cattle. They have no idea, and you know what? They don't care. Once again, guys, it makes me think of that son of a bitch professor of mine, the head of the theology department, who called me into his office to rake me over the coals and tell me I'm not allowed to speak about the Trinity on campus. All of a sudden, he sits back and kicks his feet up and he says, "Well, you know," and he puts his hands behind his head, you know, big fat ass, belts out a big belly laugh, and he says, "I guess it really doesn't matter, though. Even if you do speak out about this on campus, who's going to listen to you anyway?" That's their attitude, guys. They want to shut you up. They don't want you to say anything, but at the same time, they laugh in your face because they know that nobody's going to listen. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to do anything about it. So they really don't care that there's people like me out there talking about this. I've had many people ask me over the years, you know, "Aren't you afraid that they're going to do something?" Actually, no. No, I'm not. Because, number one, I really don't care about this fucking world. You know, if somebody wants to leap out of a bush someday and put a bullet in my head, I'm not on a death wish. I'm not wanting to die. But I really don't give a shit, guys. I really don't. This world is so incredibly fucked up. While I'm here, I have no choice. I try to make the best of it, and I do. You know, I enjoy my life, don't get me wrong. But I really don't give a shit if somebody takes me out either, because this fucking place sucks. I can only hope that there is a such thing as, reincarnation. But I don't want to be reincarnated on this fucking shithole. No, send me someplace else, and I'll be just fine with that. Or I'll remain in the spirit realm, if there is such a thing, and maybe kick the asses of some pricks that have already gone beyond me, before me, that have not only fucked my life up in the past, but who have, you know, people that have lived in the past and fucked people's lives up. Yeah, hopefully me and the few others that have gone on before can band together and kick their ass. Seriously, though. No, I'm not afraid of these fucking pieces of shit. Fuck them. Not afraid of them at all. But I'm also not afraid of them for another reason. They don't care, guys, about people like me. Because I don't hold any high position. I'm not in the spotlight, being heard by millions of people. They really don't give a shit about people like us. They know that, for the most part, we're only preaching to the choir. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Oh, we are reaching new people, no question. But the new people we're reaching, again, are people that already have, you know, either been rebels themselves or at least had the rebel spirit. They know that those kind of people eventually are going to figure it out. They're not worried because those people are in a minority. If, you know, we were able to hijack CNN's satellite dish, network, you know, then they'd be afraid. Yeah, now we're reaching a critical mass, they wouldn't be happy about that. But then again, you know, would that even matter? Seriously. I'd love to do it. It would be great to get the truth out there on millions of television sets, even just for an hour. But would it really matter? Really? Would it? How many people do you think that's going to affect? 99% of them are going to respond the same way that they respond if you see them in a coffee shop or something.
You're crazy.
The very fact that you were able to hijack, a satellite would tell them that,
well, they're criminals anyway. Look what they did.
They're not going to see that you did it out of concern for your fellow citizens, fellow humans, if there are any out there anymore. But you know what I mean. They're not going to see it that you had the most sincere desire. You want to get the truth out there, and you're trying to help these dumbasses. No, they're not going to see that. They're going to see that you're a criminal hijacking. Only criminals do stuff like that.
No wonder he talked so crazy for that whole hour that he hijacked it.
Oh, yeah. And when they arrest you and probably try you for treason and execute you, for daring to question the government, they're going to cheer it on. I'm not going to have any problem with them executing you for something like that or locking you away for 20 years or life or whatever. No, they have no problem with it. Go ahead, give them the chair. They'll cheer it on. because I don't want to be woken up. That's it. That's the bottom line. Just like religio dupes. They use the word truth all the time. Truth, 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 truth. I love the truth, love the truth. What they mean is they love what they have been told is the truth. They love that book. And if you try to come along and pull their head out of their ass, oh boy, are you going to incite their wrath. They're going to want to stone you. And they feel they'd be justified if they stoned you, because after all, didn't the great Yah Monster command stoning? Oh yeah. For everything from picking your ass to working on Shabbat to disrespecting your parents, not that that's a good thing, but stone them? Stone them. Anyway. But nevertheless, if we did hijack CNN's satellite and reached millions of people, that's when you incite their wrath, and that's definitely when they're going to want to take you out. They know that it's not going to really affect most people, but they don't even want the masses talking about this. You would be the talk of the town, even though most people are going to, you know, write you off as a nutbag and not listen to a goddamn thing you just said, regardless how much sound information you're presenting that can easily be verified, you know, well documented. Doesn't matter. Most people are going to write you off. So they're not going to kill you because they think that now you've woken up the masses. No, no, no. They're just going to kill you because you brought something to the attention of the masses that they don't want discussed at all in a public setting. So that's when they'll kill you. But when you're not reaching millions of people, no, they don't care, guys. They don't care. They really don't. In fact, in a sense, they want this information out there, as long as it's just reaching a small minority of people. They want it out there. Yeah, they want those few that would eventually figure it out anyway and aren't really going along with the system because they're natural born rebels. They want you to know because they're flaunting it in front of you. Yeah, yeah, we are doing this. You're goddamn right we are, and we're proud of it. You can't do a fucking thing about it. Oh, yeah, they get off on it, the twisted fuck. So, again, am I afraid of speaking about this stuff? No, for those two reasons. I really don't give a shit if they pop me off. I really don't. I know that for the most part, they really don't care. They don't care about people like me, about networks like this. They really don't, guys. I hope eventually we do reach a critical mass, but as long as we're not doing that, they don't care. They don't give a shit. Anyway, we got, I think, two caller or one dropped. We got a caller. Welcome to the show, caller.
Well, for some reason, Charles, you're not on FM radio here in my car, so I'm just calling to listen.
Oh, okay. No problem, buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll mute myself here.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. You do have the other caller that just called back. Welcome to the show, caller. Or apparently he's calling
to listen. I'm just
listening. Just
listen.
Okay, buddy.
I hung up by mistake. You called back. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have recognized the number, actually. Anyway, enough on that. But no, guys, they really don't care. You know what they do care about? They care about people like Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones has a whopping, massive audience. He's almost mainstream now. But they don't care about him either. Why? Because he's exposing their crime from the right angle, using watered-down general terms like the globalists. They don't care, guy. That's why he's appeared on things like the History Channel. He's been on the on goddamn Fox News. They've mentioned him on CNN. Jesus Christ, a few weeks ago, even Hillary mentioned him. They don't care. Mr. Trump has been on his show on several occasions. He's fully in their spotlight. They know. They give him the spotlight. They've given him center stage. They put his frickin' website up on Fox News' goddamn broadcast one day. He was interviewed by Geraldo Rivera. They're not going to advertise your frickin' website, guys, if you're really, really a truther. They don't care if you're aware now of the conspiracy for world government. Shit, if you're not, you're so brain dead, you might as well, make your will out now, you're essentially dead. You're certainly brain dead. So anyway, they don't care, guys. They know that a lot of people have already heard the term New World Order. They're familiar with it. And if they don't believe it, they know that, you know, this thing has grown by leaps and bounds. There's a lot of people who are aware that there is a conspiracy for world government, or at least that, you know, they're aware that there's this theory floating around out there. Very few people haven't heard of this. They're not worried about it. As long as you don't know who it is that's behind it, that's what they're afraid of. And Mr. Jones is never going to tell people that. Oh, he might mention the word Israel in a negative connotation once in a while, but it's only the government, only the leaders at the very top of that government, not the tribe itself, not their centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries of crimes in country after country after country after country. No, he's not going to bring your attention to that. He certainly isn't going to tell you about their number one playbook called the Bible. Oh, no, he's not going to tell you about that at all. He knows he would lose the whopping bulk of his supporters, of his pocket liners, his wallet stuffers. He doesn't want to lose that. Old Smoothie. Oh, man, I fell for it years ago. I remember I used to listen to that bastard every day. I would tune him in. I used to call in on his show. I remember he was talking one time about Bush's plan for, you know, conducting drills in schools. And that very afternoon, I heard him talking about that. My son came home with a notice from his school. It was one of only a couple of dozen schools around the country that participated in this program. The note stated that in the case of any terrorist-related event that might occur, either, you know, in the school or in the town, you know, anywhere nearby, or if we should conduct a terrorist drill, your children are going to be bused to an undisclosed location. In such an event, you, the parents, will be notified by the school principal where your children have been taken, and you'll be able to pick them up, you know, at a designated place at a designated time. We'll let you know. Can you imagine that shit? They're going to do with your kids what they please at an undisclosed location. We will let you know later. Well, what does that mean? What the hell does that mean? Later that day? The next day? A week later? We will decide. But in the meantime, the location is going to be undisclosed, indisclosed. We're not going to tell you where we're going to take your kid until we're ready to let you know in our, you know, our due time. Wow. So anyway, I sent him, I called into a show I told him about it. He's like, wow, could you send that to me? So I faxed it to him right away that day. And the next day he had it up on his website, and it was there for several months after that. And, you know, he was constantly making reference to it. One of my listeners in Massachusetts, big fan of the guy. And now to discover, holy frickin' horseshit, he's one of them, guys. He's goddamn right in bed with them. Oh, sure, he has good information that comes out. By the way, he admitted recently on one of his shows, he actually said, I am a Jew. He actually said that. Oh, I knew he had frickin' tribal connections up the ass, and I suspected it was probably a crypto. But he actually come out and said it several times on the same show. So how do you like that, ladies and gentlemen? He is. He's one of them, by his own admission. Nobody can deny it now. What a surprise. But anyway, back to our notes here. Yeah, I'll definitely be done with the seven notes today. I only got another page or two left. But notice in that last quote I just read from, what the hell was it? The Hackers movie, 1995 movie. It said, and all those other people out there who have no idea what's going on are the cattle. The cattle. What does that word mean, guys? I mean, obviously it's making reference to the general masses, but who uses that term to refer to the general masses? Most people will say sheep, right? No, the cattle. The goyim. The word goyim means cattle. It's the tribe that uses that term. So look how they stick it right here in this, wow, man. Unbelievable. Conan the Barbarian, 1982 movie. I remember watching that years ago when we first got cable. Well, I think we got it. I think it came out in 1980 in my town. But I remember in the early days, I used to watch it all the time. HBO and Showtime. And, anyway, in this movie, the villain, played by James Earl Jones, Mr. Darth Vader there, is repeatedly associated with the Egyptian god Set and the all-seeing eye symbol, which is seen throughout his palace. There's your all-seeing eye once again. I don't even remember that. Of course, I wasn't looking out for stuff like that. I haven't seen that movie in years. I'll have to look it up and watch it again sometime and look for that. But there it is, guys. That movie as well. South Park has also featured, no surprise, just like Simpsons and Family, American Dad, Family Guy, all of these damn things. They all feature this crap. Well, South Park has it as well. We'll talk about that after break, guys. Stick with us.
Listening to Renegade Broadcasting? Then why not help spread the word by wearing some of our fashionable and comfortable clothing, or purchasing some hats, stickers, posters, beer steins, and more. There are lots of different designs and color options for you to choose from. This is not the cheap swag that you might be used to, but real, high-quality products that last. The links to the Zazzle and Spreadshirt shops run by Thunderhammer Designs are on the left-hand sidebar of our site. Show the world you're a renegade.
Me. Don't
right, guys. Welcome back. As I was saying before the break, South Park has also featured the All-Seeing Eye, for example, in a 2000 episode of this
adult cartoon.
What does that mean anymore? The adult cartoons are pretty much the same as the freaking kid-oriented cartoons nowadays. But anyway, and kids watch these adult cartoons anyway. Parents don't give a shit anymore. They let the kids sit in front of the TV and watch any goddamn thing that they want. They do the same thing with the computer. They not only let Junior use the main computer, but Junior has his own computer. In the privacy of his room, that he can sit there and, you know, skirt across any website he wants. No parental oversight. You know, there are some exceptions. There are parents that are cautious with that and put, what do you call them? Governors or whatever, you know. I forget what the hell the term is. But, yeah, you know, software that prevents their kids from viewing unwholesome material. It filters out vulgarity, whatever, you know, pornography. But most parents don't give a shit, guys. They don't. They don't care. Parents laugh. They get a kick out of it if their kid's viewing, something vulgar or violent or explicit. Or, you know, they don't care. Anyway, in this episode, a store is shown called Misinformation's New Age Shop. Misinformation. 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 They spell it M-I-S-S, of course, like it's a woman. But guys, it's misinformation. Can you imagine that shit? What a little play on words. What a mind fuck. Misinformation's New Age Shop. It's fitting, too, that the it's a new age shop, right? Because the new age, even though there's been some good stuff that's come out of it, don't get me wrong, but that's how they work, isn't it? They always throw good in, a little good in with a lot of bad. The new age movement has been used as a major tool for misinformation. Anyway, you gotta love the name, though. Misinformation's New Age Shop. Anyway, it has a pyramid in the window for sale containing the all-seeing eye on it. Once again. Unreal. Inside the shop is also a pyramid with an all-seeing eye on it, shown suspended from the ceiling, in case you missed the one in the window. Sleepy Hollow, 1999 film. In this movie, a skeptical investigator is sent into a small town to look into a series of murders that the locals claim were committed by a headless horseman. The investigator, played by, once again, Johnny Depp, oh, he pops up in these psycho movies all the time, he becomes a believer after a personal encounter with the headless horseman. Later, a witch sets a trap for Depp involving a curse symbol painted on the floor beneath his bed. It's, of course, a pentagram with an eye in the center. Usually, the all-seeing eye is at the top of a pyramid, but it's also often featured in the center of a pentagram. The center of the pentagram is supposed to represent the all-seeing eye, as we mentioned yesterday. Unbelievable. In your face. Anyway. Here's another one here. Samurai Jack, a 2003 film. Samurai Jack is sent forward in time by his arch enemy. In one scene, Jack attempts to break into one of the villain's many fortresses, which has the classic Egyptian-looking Eye of Horus on the door. Nothing Egyptian about this, guys, when they present it. Once again, you gotta love it because Bible dupes think that, you know, ancient Egypt and ancient Babylon and ancient Sumer, they were all even all evil pagan religions and... Oh, knock it off. They've been made out to be evil. They've been demonized as evil. Those people had very high moral standards. Just look at the Code of Hammurabi, which, by the way, was the source that the Ten Commandments stole from. But you got to love it. You just got to love it because they act like the Bible is such a good book. It's filled with immorality. I should do my show again sometime on morality in the Bible. Holy horse shit, man. All they do is focus on the Ten Commandments, which seems so nice on the surface, although they don't even follow the Ten Commandments anyway. I'll do a show on that sometime. You know, how Christians ignore, particularly the Fourth Commandment. I remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You gotta love it. Even there, they pick and choose. They always push the Ten Commandments, the greatest moral code in the world. What the hell's moral about the Fourth Commandment? Which is why they ignore it. One of the reasons. Another one is the fact that they go to church on Sunday. They don't even observe that as the Sabbath. They still work on Sunday. After they're done with church, they'll go and do some overtime hours in the office. They don't even keep that as the Sabbath. But you got to love it. They pick and choose with that, too. It's right in the heart of that law. Well, how come you aren't keeping that then, you dumbasses? You're pushing that book off on me and telling me the Ten Commandments is the highest moral code, and you don't even fucking follow it yourself. Hee-hee-hee! Oh, that religion is so incredibly fucked up. Some do. Some do keep it, you know. There's actually quite a few denominations now. You have the Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, you have some Messianic Jews that keep it, and quite a few others. It seems to be a growing phenomenon. Not that that's a good thing, but, you know, at least they're more consistent than the other mainstreamers. Anyway, I'll save that for another show. You just got to love, though, the hypocrisy of the frickin' thing. But all the while, they push their great moral code, the Ten Commandments, and yet you read the rest of that bargain book, and it's loaded with all kinds of filth and immorality. But somehow, they ignore all of that. They just focus on those few passages and claim it's a moral book. Yet, they'll look at ancient Egypt and Babylon and Sumer and, you know, blah, 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 and they'll say that they're evil. But you look at the Code of Hammurabi. It's loaded with moral standards, isn't it? Of course it is. Why don't, you know, how come they're called evil when their law code is highly moral? You see my point? The Bible gets a free ride, ladies and gentlemen. Even though it's loaded with immorality, it becomes a moral book because of the frickin' Ten Commandments, which were copied from the Code of Hammurabi. But yet, the Babylonians were evil, even though their law code is far more elaborate than the Ten Commandments and is highly moral. They write that off as evil. Jesus, goddamn Christ. And you know why they do it? Because the great Yah Monster called it evil. Therefore, it's evil. Anything the Yah Monster says is evil, even when it's good. And anything he calls good is good, even though it might be evil, like the commandment to kill little babies. Mindfuckery at its finest! Anyway, in this same Samurai Jack film, the floor of this this fortress here contains a pyramid with an all-seeing eye, and this same symbol is also shown on a map that Jack consults in a later scene. So there you go. Two instances in Samurai Jack of the all-seeing eye on a pyramid. Monsters, Inc., of course. A kid-oriented movie. I remember seeing that with my kids years ago in 2001. Computer animated film. I couldn't believe when I put these notes together how long ago that was. Jesus. I didn't realize. I thought it was in more recent years. But anyway, it featured a small green monster. I forget his name, but he had one big eye that covered about half of his face slash body, because his body was his head, just a head with arms and legs. You know, a Cyclops character. But there you go, guys. The one eye, the single eye. And don't forget, didn't the great Jesus say, let your eye be single? And that the eye is the light of the body, associating the eye with light, light rays, like the all-seeing eye. Very interesting. Anyway, the all-seeing eye is all too obvious with that character. Another cartoon that has a Cyclops oriented toward kids is goddamn SpongeBob. Plankton is another one-eyed, all-seeing eye character geared toward a child audience. Anyway. Another all-seeing eye symbol is in the U2 Yahweh video, where it's featured both on a cross and on a pyramid. Isn't it interesting that U2 would associate the all-seeing eye with Yah-Yah? Many recognize the all-seeing eye as being a symbol of the devil. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, I'll agree. But they certainly wouldn't associate it with Yahweh because they don't recognize that Yahweh is the devil. So how fitting that U2 associates Yahweh with the all-seeing eye symbol. Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, these are only a few examples. I mean, there's literally thousands more that could be cited. I just gave a few here to give you the idea. But look how pervasive this is, guys. All over the damn place. Look who runs the media. Well, surprise, surprise, that they would put this occult symbol, something they like very much, representing, you know, the devil or evil or Yahweh, whatever. Anything that's, once again, you know, degrading, demoralizing, dark, foreboding, evil, anything that's going to tear people down more, not build them up. Oh, heavens forbid. No, can't have that. Anything that's going to degrade, demoralize society even more than it already is, that's what they're all about, and that's what they're going to do. Anyway, we only got another 15 minutes or so left, but enough time where I thought I'd start another discussion here. Another occult theme that pops up over and over in movies, video games, freaking cartoons, on and on, is the theme of orphans. Why do we have orphans popping up over and over and over again across the board in so many avenues of, you know, of the media? Let's take a look at this theme. And then after this, on Monday, this will take us to the end of the show and into Mondays, and then probably the second half of Monday, I'll start another topic on labyrinths. Labyrinths is another theme, a cult theme that we see popping up over and over again. What the hell is the meaning behind that? We'll be getting into that. Like I said, no show tomorrow, but Monday I'll be picking up with this. But anyway, let's start this discussion on orphans. Hollywood is absolutely obsessed with the theme of orphans. It has been for a long time, as we'll see. Over and over, again and again, we see this theme, as I said, popping up in movies, targeting both adults and child audiences, just like the all-seeing eye. Adult films and cartoons, child films and cartoons, across the board, hitting all age groups, pumping this idea. What is their agenda? Well, it's quite obvious as far as orphans go. What's their agenda? Orphans make great victims for Hollywood and government-run pedophile rings, snuff films, ritual sacrifices, and MKUltra mind control experiments. Since they have no parental oversight, they love orphans. Look at the Franklin cover-up story, guys. Where did they get their victims from for that whole pedophile ring? They got them from Boys Town, an orphanage. All you got to do is get in good with the head honchos, or make sure that the head honchos from the word go are corrupt, so they'll have no aversion to you borrowing some of their clientele on occasion, turning a blind eye. Hell, you might even participate in some of these activities yourself. Boys Town, by the way, is a Catholic-run facility. Well, yeah, it's not too hard to envision how they pulled that off. How many priests, guys, have been exposed as pedophiles over the years? Jesus Christ, man. You think it's difficult to get a Catholic orphanage to agree to letting a pedophile ring borrow some boys for pedophile films, or even snuff films for that matter? Some of these kids were murdered, ladies and gentlemen. If you've ever read Franklin Cover-Up, and I don't recommend it if you have a weak stomach. I have a weak stomach. I could barely get through the damn thing. In fact, a lot of it I just skimmed over. I couldn't even stomach it. When I put the notes together, as I said before, I quoted a couple passages from it that were real gruesome. I just couldn't get through it, though. I couldn't read it on air. Couldn't do it. It's so goddamn disgusting. Paul Bonacci, one of the main people that worked with DeCamp in putting his book together, provided most of the information. He describes some incredibly horrific stories of how, you know, on one occasion, for example, he was brought to Bohemian Grove, right at the base of that 40-foot owl statue. He was made to participate in a snuff film with a gun to his head. He had no choice. And he describes how, you know, they murdered this other boy, and then they forced him to engage in activities with the corpse of this boy. That's as far as I'm going with that. Just to give you an idea how sick these son of a bitches are. This was back in the 80s, guys. This stuff is nothing new. Bohemian Grove, there are people from government, from big business, from Hollywood, you know, the media, you name it, academia, all in attendance at these gatherings. And this is the kind of shit that they do. When this film was made, it was in the off season. There weren't many people there, but they did it there because they knew that they weren't going to get caught. You know, there weren't going to be any witnesses that would care anyway. You know, this is the norm for the Bohemian Grove. This kind of shit goes on all the time. But they do have people that have been there. There was some prostitutes once that were hired to do some dances there, and they couldn't believe. They told their story later, some of the stuff they saw. One of the things they mentioned is they have several buildings there for orgiastic, gatherings. And they have one building for each bizarre, twisted, sick proclivity. There's one for necrophilia, one for pedophilia. There's another one for incest, you name it, sex with bestiality, S&M, on and on and on. It's all there. Whatever your little fetish is, twisted, sick fetish, they got a building for you there. Ah, my God, man. But anyway, they like the theme of orphan. And use it over and over again, because orphans are such easy prey for them. That's the main reason for their obsession with it. And so they feature so very many storylines, so many movies, TV storylines for TV shows, you know, cartoon or comic book characters, as we're going to see. Over the years, so many of them have been orphans, guys, because they're such easy targets for them. Anyway, let's look at some prominent examples of this. The reoccurring orphan theme in popular media, Alice in Wonderland, going back to the late 19th century. The Alice character is, of course, an orphan. The book that the famous Disney film was based upon, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, was written in 1865 by pedophile Lewis Carroll. That was his name. I couldn't think of it earlier. Whose real name actually was Charles Dodgson. But anyway, it was written about a real girl named Alice Little, or Liddell, whom Dodgson had clearly molested and had taken disgusting, exploitative pictures of, with her bare shoulders showing in an adult-like, provocative manner. Have you guys ever seen these pictures? It's so goddamn disgusting. This was in the frickin' late 19th century, guys. And there he is making these provocative, strongly pedophilic, overtoned pictures of this girl. My God, man. You think this stuff is new? You think this just arose in just the past couple decades, where they have reality shows of beauty pageants of little girls dressed up like prostitutes? Nah. This goes way back. What's so disgusting about these modern day examples, though, is that parents are participating in this stuff. This girl, Alice Little, was an orphan. So, he could more easily get away with it with no parental oversight. But now you have parents doing this stuff. Anyway, the real-life Alice... she wasn't an orphan. I thought she was. But in the storyline, she's portrayed as an orphan. But in real life, the real Alice Little was not an orphan. But she may as well have been, as it turns out, because her parents didn't object to her hanging out for several days at a time with this creepy bastard who obviously was molesting her. Maybe he was paying them a lot of money, whatever. Anyway, Dodgson's Alice character is depicted as going down the rabbit hole, which, of course, has been a major theme that has been frequently used in not only in a lot of Hollywood movies, but in CIA mind control programs, where the victim is taken into a dream world rabbit hole through the use of hallucinogenic drugs, so that they can be more easily manipulated. And so you see that theme, the rabbit hole, also popping up in a lot of Hollywood shit movies, usually in association with orphans. It was a movie called Orphan. Came out not too long ago. This film is about an orphan who turned out to be an adult. Have you guys seen that? It's a pretty sick, twisted plot. This family adopts what they think is this little girl, and it turns out she's got some rare disease, that even though she's 30 years old, she looks like 8 or 9 years old. There really is such a thing. There's also a disease that makes you prematurely age, so you can be a young kid and look like an old man, except for your height, but your face, your skin ages and wrinkles. Anyway, they thought she was a little girl. One day, she's hitting on the father that adopted her, and the father's shocked and appalled. And they don't find out till later that, they just think she has some problems, and she winds up going psycho on them and tries to kill the whole family. I forget now how the whole thing plays out, if she actually kills them or not. I don't remember, but anyway. There's the orphan theme again. They love the orphan theme. Oliver Twist, guys. Annie about, Little Orphan Annie. Bruce Wayne in Batman is another orphan. By the way, in the Batman comic storyline, Bruce Wayne's parents were killed at the Monarch Movie Theater. Monarch, of course. Is a heavy theme used in CIA mind control. There was Project Monarch, of course, a subdivision of MKUltra. But isn't that interesting that they happen to name it Monarch Theater? Anyway, Dick Grayson in Batman, Robin's identity, was also he was also an orphan. So you have two orphans in the Batman cartoon, not just one. Clark Kent technically was an orphan, wasn't he? You know, sent here from another planet, adopted by his earthly parents, so he was an orphan. Peter frickin' Parker in Spider-Man. Pretty much all these superhero characters, they're alter egos, if you will. They're secret identities. We're frickin' orphans. Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia in Star Wars were orphans. King Arthur is said to have been an orphan. The 2006 film Arthur and the Invisibles features a character, Arthur, who is essentially an orphan since his parents have pretty much abandoned him to live with his grandmother. There's another orphan right there. Anyway, on and on it goes here. The Sword and the Stone also featured an orphan boy named Arthur. That's interesting. Look how many Arthurs we have that are orphans. Jesus, I remember there was a cartoon called Arthur several years ago. I think it was what the hell was it, a muskrat or something. I don't know. My kids used to watch it. I don't remember, but was he an orphan too? That would be a third instance where an orphan is named Arthur. All right, guys. That's it today. Like I said, I won't be doing a show tomorrow. I'll be back up on Monday, and we'll pick up with this then. So have a great Thanksgiving, a great weekend, and we'll see you then. Take care.
Our hosts here at Renegade Broadcasting do a great job presenting to you cutting-edge and hard-hitting content every day of the week. They do this all for free, because they care about getting the truth out there and ensuring that we, and future generations, have a future worth living for. Our enemies have an endless supply of money to finance their operations, but we're able to work wonders working on a shoestring budget. If you appreciate a host's content, visit their archive page and find out how to support them, or even send a nice thank you note. We all appreciate it. Thank you for your consideration. Now back to the show.